The book of Habakkuk tells us to be amazed. normally when I'm teaching or when I'm preaching, I talk about what I know, right? In this session, let me tell you about what I don't know. Right? You should know what I don't know as well. Here's one of the things I don't know. Why is the word abbreviate such a long word? I mean, shouldn't it be a... I don't know. I don't know why it's such a long word. Why is the word pronunciation such a difficult word to say? So many people say pronunciation or... That's just a hard word to say. I guess it's, you know, it's not pronunciation, it's pronunciation. I think about my parents. How long, O Lord? You know? When are my parents really going to commit themselves to Jesus? They don't have that much time. They turn 90 next year. You know, I'll see them again, and every time I see them, I wonder, is this the last time I'm going to see them? I've been praying for my parents for 45 years. I remember when I was a teenager and I heard the testimony of a man who prayed for his dad 32 years till his dad came to Christ. And I thought, oh no, I don't want to wait 32 years. Well, I heard he waited 45 years, you know, and they don't have that much time left. How long do I need to wait till my sons really grasp who Jesus is? And then I think of myself, well, do I really grasp who Jesus is? No. We're all in process, you know? How long do I have to wait for the wicked to just, for God to be just with them? You know, like Psalm 73 says, behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. You know, you hear the stories too, don't you? These people just, amazing amount of money. And I guess I just have to say, well, Lord, thanks for not trusting me with that much money. I guess it's a stumbling block to them. It'll probably be a stumbling block to me. The more I think, the more confused I get about all these sort of things, you know? You can really be just, not just perplexed, but really agitated about all of this. And it can eat you up. The very fact that we just don't know the future, and if you just mull on the future and you just have all this focus on the future, which you just don't know, it can really mess you up. Well, Habakkuk is the only prophet whose entire book is a dialogue with God. The whole book is Habakkuk saying something, then God saying something. Habakkuk saying something, then God saying something. It's wonderful. It's unique in that regard. As Jonah is unique because it's the only prophetic book that's all narrative. It has some dialogue in it as well, but, you know, it's like, you know, if you could converse with God, what would you ask him? What would you... I wonder. What's on your heart? You know, Lord, what about... What is... And then God answers. Some of us say, Lord, why did you take my mother? You know, I know some of your testimonies, and I know how you can't relate at all to what I just said about my mother turning 90 next year, because the Lord took your mother when you were really young, and you don't know. You ask God why he took your mother, and he says, well, trust me. Some of us say, well, God, why can't I find a job? You know? And what you hear from God is silence. Others of us ask, why is there so much injustice in the world? Why does the Lord allow men and women who love him to be slaughtered? You know, you can go to a daily... You can have, if you want to, you can have a daily report of who's been killed, especially by Islamic terrorists. It's called the religionofpeace.com. It'll show you on there who was killed today, who was killed yesterday for their faith. Not all Christians, you know, but others, other faiths are killed as well. There's so much injustice going on in the world. So how do you actually deal with that? What should you do when you're perplexed? How should you deal with life when perplexed? This is where Habakkuk found himself. Because Habakkuk lived after Nahum. He comes, well, pretty close. I think he comes during this time right before the fall of Jerusalem, maybe 5 or 10 years before the fall of Jerusalem, maybe 20 years before the fall of Jerusalem. So Habakkuk and Nahum actually had similar concerns. They said, Lord, you know, Nahum's case, Lord, what about those Assyrians? What are you going to do with them? God says, I'll deal with them. Habakkuk says a similar thing. What about the ones who conquered the Assyrians, the Babylonians? And God says a similar thing. You know, be patient. Wait. But more than just wait, God says, be amazed at what I'm going to do. So this is the message the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. We don't have the reign of a king of Israel or Judah here. So this is one of those ones that is dated kind of different ways. But it mentions Babylonian invaders in verse 6. So it was likely written near the end of Josiah's reign, as Babylon became strong. And in 609, the Babylonians defeated the Egyptians. But they hadn't actually defeated Judah yet. But they could see the handwriting on the walls there in Judah. They knew that as these various kings of the southern kingdom, they knew that Josiah, there was a great respect for Josiah. But his two sons that followed reigning after him were not ones that they really wanted to put their trust in. And I take it that during the time of Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, the second to rule for 11 years, probably this time that Habakkuk wrote, you know, around 20 years before the fall. And he says what you and I often say, well, why must I look on injustice? Why is there so much injustice going on in the world? And especially when God's all-powerful. So he starts off his prophecy saying, well, God, why aren't you judging Judah's sin? It's a fair question to ask, I guess. And God gives an answer. God says, I will judge them. I'll judge Judah with the Babylonians. What? You can't do that. The Babylonians are worse than us. How could you use people that are worse than us to judge us? And God says, well, yeah, I can do that. Don't forget, I'm God. Can you use a nation more wicked than Judah to judge us? Habakkuk says, and God says, chapter 2, yeah, but I'll judge the Babylonians as well. And this whole thing just makes Habakkuk perplexed. It doesn't fit into his theology of God, that God would do that. And I think we can relate to that. We're often utterly perplexed at God's plan. I mean, it would be like you saying, Lord, what are you doing? There's so much injustice going on here in Singapore. People are not treated fairly. I know specific examples, and God says, don't worry about it. Singapore is going to get conquered by ISIS. All right? ISIS is spreading wide, and I have a plan for ISIS to invade Singapore. They're going to destroy the whole country, and your prayer will be answered. And then you go, but I mean, I didn't mean that. I don't want you to bring ISIS in. Well, God says, yeah, but I'll take care of ISIS too. Do you catch it? If we put it into our own situation, something like that, we'd be able to understand it. So how should we deal with injustice right in the family of faith? That's what he's talking about. Why do I have to look at all this injustice? God says, have faith that God's going to address this issue in his time and in his way. And so our key word for Habakkuk is the word faith. God says, I want you to trust me in all of this. God says, I'm going to use the Chaldeans or the Babylonians to punish the ungodly nation of Israel. So here's where I get the title, verse 5 of this message. The Lord replied, look around at the nations, look and be amazed. So this is why I call this book, the book where God tells us, be amazed. I have plans that you know nothing about, and that are actually going to be amazed. I'm going to do something in your day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. And Habakkuk has a hard time with that. You can't do that. And God, and he spells it all out. You know, these guys are like horses, you know, there's horses are swifter than cheetahs. He's like informing God, like eagles, they swoop down on their prey, and all this very poetic language, as if God doesn't really know. They sweep past like the wind and they're gone, you know, and wow, these guys are so fast, and the Babylonians are just conquering all the area of Assyria that Assyria had. And God says, yeah, don't worry, I know. You know, it would be like God, you know, Habakkuk says, you can't really do this. It's like, you can't really destroy Marina Bay. you really can't punish injustice in Singapore. And God says, no, I will. I'll punish them. I've got a plan here for ISIS to come and destroy Singapore. I'm going to answer your prayer. So we get into chapter 2, and Habakkuk's waiting. All right, God, that's not a good enough answer. I'm going to stand and watch, and you give me an answer. And so God does give him an answer. God gives 5 woes. He says these people are greedy, but the greedy people, they're going to be the ones that are taken advantage of. These people exploit others. And he says about these Babylonians, what sorrow awaits you, build big houses with money gained dishonestly. Well, by the murders you've committed, you've shamed your name and forfeited your lives. These people committed violence. What sorrow awaits you who build cities with money gained through murder and corruption. And God says, even though you've got this beautiful city built through murder and corruption, God is going to, he's going to have the whole earth be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Here's a promise that God's going to bring about the renewal of the whole earth. These people were immoral, drunkards, people who abused women. And he said, you're going to drink from the same cup. You cut down the forests of Lebanon, but you will be cut down. And then 5th woe is the woe of idolatry. What good is an idol carved by man or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a God that can't even talk. And he says, the Babylonians are filled with idolatry. But we have a lot of things that we can't grasp now. and we're perplexed. And so God says, yep, you're perplexed, but what I want you to do is when you're perplexed, be amazed. Don't be discouraged about being perplexed. Be amazed at God's ways. And Habakkuk leaves the book. He leaves it with us with amazement. Because the 3rd chapter is a chapter of praise. It's a chapter where he says, well, God, in wrath, remember mercy. So the answer to why are you doing all, why are you allowing all this is not God actually answering it, except the answer to why is who. And he says, I heard of your fame, but now I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. But in wrath, as you judge the earth, remember mercy. And this third chapter is an amazing depiction of how God is. It's a great chapter of what God has done and who God is. His coming is as brilliant as a sunrise. Verse 4. Pestilence marches before him. He's looking back at Israel in Egypt and how God worked in such amazing ways to get the people out of Egypt. The earth shakes. He shatters everlasting mountains. He says, I see the people of Cushan in distress, people of Egypt, you know, and the people of Midian. And in the middle of them all, God's people are protected at Mount Sinai. So all of it, it ends with a message of hope. Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree doesn't bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. Now, none of us here are farmers, and we really can't relate to that imagery. So let me see if I can update it. All right? Talking about how God would actually do the same thing in our own day to actually destroy the city that we live in and love. Though Marina Bay, Orchard Road, and every building is destroyed, and not even one bank remains on Shenton Way. Though NTUC, cold storage, and every food store has no food. Though every dollar of every one of my accounts is lost. Though there's no meat in the fridge and no noodles in the cabinets. Wow. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. You want the reference? That's Hesitations 3, verses 17 and 18. We have to see the scripture in light of our own day, in light of God saying the same thing to us, that what we place so much security in is actually going to all be destroyed. You realize, you know, this campus, this Singapore Bible College campus, it's worth $360 million. Did you know this campus is worth $360 million without the buildings? But it's all going to go. It's all going to be destroyed. The building we're in right now is going to be destroyed. 51 years, solid as it is. It looks pretty solid. When it happens, we need to be able to say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. Because these things that we see are not going to last. So he concludes, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. You ever see deer's... You ever see deer climbing up on the hill? I mean, they're just like one little step away from death, and they're just all up the side of this mountain. It's like, that's the great image for us. We can be one step away from death, and God's there protecting us. God's there guiding us. God's there dealing with the other things that are just too big for us. Belshazzar was humbled. Babylon fell. Cyrus ended up destroying the city. And we also should be amazed. So don't let your confusion stop you from being amazed at how God works. When we get to be adults, we lose amazement. We should still be amazed at God's creation. It is truly amazing. Be it a mountain height or even just seeing something similar as a pomegranate. Every time I open a pomegranate, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at the digestive system. You eat stuff and then it passes through the body and you feel better and you have energy. Are you amazed at the sunrise? Are you amazed at, you know? John Piper says, oh God of wonder, enlarge my capacity to be amazed at what is amazing and end my attraction with the insignificant. I love that. So what do you do when you're perplexed, when life is perplexing? When perplexed, be amazed with God's ways. That's essentially the message of Habakkuk. So you need to be amazed. I need to be amazed. And we need to, whatever issue that baffles you right now and you need hope, Our key word in Habakkuk is faith. Habakkuk 2:4. See, he's puffed up. He's talking about the Babylonians. His desires are not right, but the righteous will live by his faith. So here's God's call to us to really trust him in faith.